This is Money Moves on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we have an hour left on the program and still so much to get to. Coming up in 15 minutes, we're going to have Jeff Sherman with us. We'll get his thoughts on what's going on. VP of Risk Management, of course, over at the Westgate Superbook. Mix up there 30 minutes from now. In 15 minutes, Derek Hardy's going to be with us. MLB Handicapper, BetX Projections. We'll get his thoughts on the card today. Get some general thoughts at the beginning of a season as well in a sport that is really so much tied into data and what this is from a projection standpoint, from a betting standpoint. How do you do it at the beginning of a year? Derek will answer those questions and more when he's with us coming up here in 15 minutes. Again, Jeff Sherman's coming up in 30 minutes. Let's talk a little association, though, and we'll hit last night and the weekend as well and spin it forward because there are quite a few storylines that tie into the overall betting market and what it means for the big picture, especially in the Eastern Conference. But let's go with the Orlando Magic first and foremost. The futility continues. Magic lose their 7 out of 8 games. They give up a 31-0 run to Toronto in a blowout loss. The run is the longest unanswered run in the play-by-play era that has been tracked since the 1997-1998 season, according to ESPN. 139-87, your final score. Toronto was only a 1.5-point favorite, total 226.5 in that game as well. But this is a big win for many reasons. Toronto, Atlanta, Philadelphia, all kind of in a mix right now in that 5, 6, and 7 range. Remember, 7 means you're in the play-in. You get 2 cracks at it, but in the play-in nonetheless. 5 and 6, of course, will be on the outside and not looking in, looking forward, as they will be playoff teams in that regard. Orlando, of course, a team that has been absolutely awful. As you mentioned there, now 1 and 7 in their last 8 games. This has been a slide that has been, I think, pretty long here outside of just these 8 games. They have been a futile team. In an offseason in which they traded for Desmond Bane, it has not gone well. Injury has been somewhat part of it, but every single week there seems to be something from Jamal Mosley or some of the players, and it was no different after the Raptors' loss against Toronto. Let's set this Desmond Bane clip up, though, because Desmond Bane, of course, that was the headline. But let's hear from Jamal Mosley first, because this is the important context. After the game was asked what went wrong, and here's what Mosley had to say.
You know, I got to do a better job preparing them for what they were going to see tonight. You know, we talked a little bit about it, but probably not enough. I've got to have them prepared for the physicality of the game, you know, prepared for how much they were going to grab hold and get us off of our spots. You know, that's on me. I got to do a better job there with this group to make sure they're prepared in the right way, knowing exactly the sense of urgency that Toronto was going to play with having guys out, the sense of urgency that they were going to play with, knowing the positioning that we were going to, that they were in for playoff positioning. So that's I've got to do a better job for this group there.
Prepare for the physicality is a weird way to put something like that. It sounds like he's telling us that he thinks his team wasn't ready to play a tough game, or maybe that they're not tough at all. The response, in turn, from Desmond Bane when he was asked about those questions was this.
I mean, I think that we, you know, understood, you know, how big of a game it was and that. But, yeah, I don't have nothing for that.
I don't have nothing for that was the response that was going around yesterday. This team is falling apart at the seams. They're slipping deep into the play-in. The only thing that is keeping them afloat right now is twofold. The fact that the Miami Heat really aren't doing much to dig their own hole, or at least dig their way out of their own hole, and that the Charlotte Hornets over the weekend had their own tough weekend. But the Magic, I think, are a non-starter in the NBA Eastern Conference. Now, play this back when they win and they make it out of the play-in and eliminate our Charlotte Hornets and maybe push a team in the playoff series. But this team has been an abysmal offensive group. The shooting really hasn't been there. And Mosley seems to be a dead man walking right now when you look at the way this narrative is forming around the Orlando Magic. You can't trade as many assets as you did for Desmond Bane and have a season like this where you head into a postseason. We still have about 9 or 10 games left. But you are right now solidly in the postseason, or excuse me, the play-in mix. No danger of falling out. The Bucks have been eliminated from playoff contention. Our top 10 teams are going to be our top 10 teams. But the Magic right now are in a very big hole, and it's not looking really great for the way that they're playing at this point. And yet still, you see the Southeast Division, Hawks up on top, Magic, Heat, and Hornets. That is also, of course, the order in the Eastern Conference play-in. After 2 losses from the Charlotte Hornets over the weekend. Now, Sunday is somewhat acceptable. Second leg of a back-to-back, third game of 4 nights the Hornets have been playing. This was a tough situation to be in. But Saturday, to give up a late rally to Philadelphia, lose 118-114 at home, That's really, really brutal for the Charlotte Hornets right now, because you are at the bottom of the standings right now in the top 10 of the Eastern Conference. You want, at the very least, to make it to that 8 seed. Remember, if you're in the top half of the play-in, you can lose a game. You get two opportunities to win if you're in the top of the play-in. If you're in the bottom, you got to win two to make your way into the postseason. I still believe and stand by what we talked about last week, the Hornets being a very dangerous team. And it's actually a really it's a good point to be made that this team has not played real basketball in a very long time. Con Knipple with a really quiet game. But instead of focusing on Charlotte like we usually do, I think it's very much worth pointing out that we should focus on the team that they lost to on Saturday. The Philadelphia 76ers, we have talked about them for so long. We have talked about them, and they have been disappointing. Guys have not been available. And yet here we are quietly, and Justin, I think you're a 76ers fan. Like, this seems like the first time in forever where they're actually getting healthy at the right time, as opposed to maybe having nobody available. We finally get their big three on the floor. Paul George has been back for two games. 27 points, 9.5 rebounds, three assists on 48% shooting and 41% from beyond the arc of the two games that he's played up to this point. We are looking at a team that could be the fly in the ointment in the Eastern Conference overall. I have an early ticket on this Philadelphia 76ers team from way before the season started, and there might be a stretch here where you could actually get a Philly team into the mix, and all of a sudden, let's say they get into the playoff picture. They're only a half game back from the Atlanta Hawks. A 3-6 matchup for the New York Knicks might not be what the Knicks want to see. A fully healthy a Philadelphia team with Paul George and with the New York Knicks. If you don't have anything in front of you in terms of a futures ticket, we'll ask Jeff Sherman about this coming up in a little bit, but I don't think it's the craziest thing in the world to believe that Philadelphia could make some noise here in this postseason. Having said that, it starts tonight. So let's get into the card today. Philadelphia 76ers on the road against the Miami Heat, coming off of that big win on Saturday over the Charlotte Hornets. It is a fully healthy roster yet again for the Philadelphia 76ers. Tyrese Maxey listed as available. The big three will be out there on the floor. Philly opens up as a 1.5-point favorite, total of 245.5. Current number right now, still in that range, 1.5 with a total of 244.5. This is one of those what am I missing specials. It should be a little easy here, only asking this team to win by about a possession. Market seems to agree. Some spots are up to two. Circa here included is up to two. 1.5 seems somewhat short by my measure. Think Philly might be in a spot to get this thing done against Miami. Heat, as we have discussed many times, have been pretty inconsistent for the most part. Coming in having lost now their last two games and 7 out of their own last 8. They split that baseball series with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Remember Friday we talked about that. In a tough spot and a rematch on the road against Cleveland. Ended up getting blown out there. And they got blown out by Indiana. Pascal Siakam dropped 30 on them to give them a 135-118 victory. This seems a little too easy. You got the big three out there. Philadelphia has been playing pretty well with those guys out there as well. I think that this is a spot where Philly can get in there. It's a high-leverage game, too. Don't make a mistake about this. You are trying to directly distance yourself from Miami, who is only 2.5 games back from you. If you lose this game, you slip into the play-in even further. This game really does matter, and it's another high-leverage spot for Philadelphia. They took care of business with the rally on Saturday. I think they can take care of business here on the road against Miami Heat as well as 1.5-point favorites, as we mentioned, market getting up to 2. Boston in a bad spot, too. So let's talk about this. Celtics on the road against the Atlanta Hawks. Hawks open as a 1.5-point favorite with a total of 222.5. Current number right now up to 2. Total up to 223.5 for the Celtics, who are, of course, in control of the 2 seed right now, coming off of that win on Sunday against the Charlotte Hornets, where they absolutely blasted Charlote 114-99. Third game in 4 nights, second leg of a back-to-back, and a revenge spot for the Hawks. Remember Friday, Hawks went out there, took them on, lost 109-102. Now you're coming back. Seems like the market really has factored in this revenge angle for the Atlanta Hawks. Maybe a little too long on 1.5 and maybe even up to 2.5 now. Seems like it's a little much considering where Atlanta was power rated when they played each other last time around. We'll see what the injury report shakes out to be here. But this team, I think, is in a good situational spot, Atlanta. But the number, I think, is very clearly asking you to pay some sort of tax, given the revenge in the second leg of a back-to-back for Boston. A couple of double-digit favorites we can roll through here really quickly. Phoenix is up to a 13-point favorite, 12.5 on the road against Memphis. Memphis had another season-ending injury, announced over the weekend. Not great for them. San Antonio up to an 18.5-point favorite over the Chicago Bulls. This is the Grizzlies line you see there. But for Chicago and San Antonio, We have talked about Chicago in the sense of that team being somewhat plucky and staying inside of some of these numbers, as we have seen over a larger sample size of the Bulls can't actually get some of those spots done. They have lost three straight, but another clutch time loss to the Memphis Grizzlies, 125-124 at the Thunder. Ended up getting pasted a little bit there in that matchup, but still 131-113, just staying inside some numbers depending on where you close there. Maybe it's a bridge too far for Chicago here, but big number against San Antonio, which is still trying to catch the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then the Cleveland Cavaliers, 17.5 or 16.5 point favorites, depending on where you look, and 15.5 the spread for the Los Angeles Lakers against the Washington Wizards, which leaves us to the other game we're talking about. This opened in some spots pretty high, but we're sitting at 12 now in favor of the Oklahoma City Thunder. They themselves are on the second leg of a back-to-back, played a tight one against the New York Knicks, yet again failing to cover. Pistons, though, not a good injury report, which is why initially this seemed a little high, but because of what was going on with the Pistons injury report, don't really like it. Cade Cunningham still out. Jalen Duren doubtful. Tobias Harris is doubtful, as is Duncan Robinson. Stewart is still out as well. Isaiah Stewart, that is, and Assur Thompson questionable to play against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Folks, you got the group chat. You got the opinions. Now put your money where your mouth is. Cut is the social betting platform that lets you bet directly against your friends and other users on sports, politics, pop culture, even personal bets. Every bet is fully customizable and pre-funded, so nobody flakes when they lose. Plus, you get cash back on every single bet you make. Use promo code VSIN to get a 15% deposit on your first deposit. Download Cut today at KUTT or .com or in the App Store and use the promo code VSIN. Get a 15% deposit bonus on that first deposit. Let's get back to Major League Baseball on the other side. Derek Carty's going to be with us. Some bad X. We'll get his thoughts on some of the projections, some player props for today, and just generally how you handle the start of a Major League Baseball season. We don't have as much data to work with. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match. Here's the thing. Pro bettors spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. VSiN Pro gives you access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're watching Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Major League Baseball season is underway. A lot of us excited, of course, like the daily grind of an MLB regular season. And who better than to look at what is a jam-packed card today than with Derek Carty, who was nice enough to give us some time here today, talk some projections and more of what we're looking at for the card this evening. But Derek, I wanted to start, as he's with us on the Progressive Guest Line, with just a general question here. You do a great job with your projections, what we're looking at. What is an early season like for you when you're talking about projecting some of these player props and looking at some potential performances, when we're talking about a very, very minute sample size in a game that, of course, works off larger sample sizes of data?
Yeah, it's definitely a little tricky early in the season. One of the trickiest parts is the first time a pitcher starts, we don't even necessarily know how deep he's going to go into the game. We have some idea based on what they did in spring training, their pitch counts. But some guys throw on backfields. They throw extra pitches on the side after they come out of a game. Like, we don't know how built up all these guys are, which, I mean, volume is the building block of anything. So not being able to know the volume right away is definitely tricky.
Is it a little easier for hitters when you're talking about projecting versus pitchers when you look at some of those?
It's easier to project volume for hitters because we know, for the most part, how many at-bats they're going to get, where they're hitting in the lineup, that kind of thing. But if a hitter makes adjustments during the winter, it's a lot harder to pick up on those adjustments for hitters early in the season than it is for pitchers. If a pitcher makes adjustments over the offseason, after a start or two, his stuff data is going to show that, whether his velocity is up or he's changed his pitch mix or his pitches are getting more movement or whatever it is. We're going to see that after, you know, one, two, three starts, and that's going to get baked right into the projections, and it's going to change our impression of who that pitcher is from an underlying talent standpoint. And so for hitters, it's harder to do that.
We're going to talk about Roki Sasaki coming up here in a second because I think he's one of the more interesting pitchers getting a start here today. But it ties into spring training. How much does spring training data mean to you at all?
Not a lot, especially the surface stats, because we know that the level of competition in spring training is all over the place. So I don't really care too much about the 12 innings that the guy had, you know, whether he got strikeouts or allowed runs or whatever. It doesn't matter to me. I care about how stretched out he was able to get, because that's going to impact our volume considerations. And was he working on something new? Was he working on a new pitch? Was his stuff better than it was last year all of a sudden? Now there's shades of gray within that, because, you know, there's a big difference between throwing harder for two or three innings compared to in, you know, the regular season, having to go out there and maintain that velocity for five or six innings. So we don't know for sure when guys increase their velocity that's going to stick in the regular season, but it's that type of thing that if there is a chance of noticing something, it's going to be something along those lines, I think.
So having said that, Rokitsaki pitched, I think, 8 2/3 in spring training. It didn't really go well. The command was poor. He had an ERA over 15. So are we freaking out about this? What's your expectation for his start today for the Dodgers?
I am not the biggest Sasaki believer at this point. I thought he was a little overrated coming over from Japan last year. Did not look good. My stuff model did not think that his underlying, you know, pitch characteristics were particularly impressive last year. And the spring data, at least what we have, you know, based on the spring data, it doesn't look like he's really turned a corner. Now, he might. I mean, he came with lots of fanfare, you know, big pedigree, was terrific over in Japan. That talent is still there somewhere. So he just kind of needs to figure out how to get that back, I guess, at the major league level.
Yeah, it seems like if you're not really a believer in him, and then what we saw in spring training, just the data points we have seen, I mean, this Dodgers team is so good, they'd be able to overcome a lot, but they're a $1.94 favorite despite all of the issues that Sasaki has had at this point.
Yeah, I mean, the Dodgers are just so good. It's crazy how good the Dodgers are. I don't see a lot of value one way or the other betting on them today. I think the line is pretty much fair. But I think that kind of says how good that team is, given what, you know, what our impression of Sasaki is at this point.
What about the other side of this, just really quickly, for some of the projections? What's the general process for a guy like Mesick, who we only saw, you know, 39 2/3 last year? But if you looked at his numbers when he was pitching in the majors last season compared to some of the numbers when he was in the minor leagues, like the thing that I pointed out was his walk rate was a lot higher when he was in the minors versus what you looked at as a pitcher in the majors last year. Does that stick a little bit more? How do you handle a guy with not as much sample size data at the major level, like a guy like Mesick?
Yeah, when it comes to control stats like that, like walk rate, I think we have to expect his walk rate to come up and be a lot closer to what it was at the minor league level than what we saw over the small sample at the major league level. You know, seven starts is really not that much. There's lots of ways the context or just natural random variance can impact that kind of thing. But the cool thing that we can get over a sample size like that is these new stuff models that we have, and I built my own this offseason, the Batcast, where we look at the pitcher's velocity and pitch shapes and spin rate and tunneling and all that kind of stuff. That kind of stuff stabilizes very quickly. So over seven starts and 39 innings, we can get a good sense of who a pitcher is on that level very, very quickly. And I know that my system likes Mesick quite a bit. So I'm kind of excited to see what we get from him today.
All right, let's talk a little bit. Derek Carty's with us again, talking about some of the games today, some projections, and just some general thoughts at the beginning of the season when you're talking about betting, handicapping, and more. Park changes. Kansas City is going to be front and center for that. We get their first home series today for the Kansas City Royals. So from projecting hitters and what their season looks like, obviously they've got some pretty strong bats, it looks like, on the surface in this lineup, Pasquantino among them, Caglione. So how did you change what you expect for the Kansas City Royals as we're going to get their first series at home here? Bubic gets the start, but more curious about your adjustments for their offense.
Yeah. So essentially, I mean, we've seen Parks, you know, teams and Parks move their fences in or out many times before. So basically how I handle it is I look historically at, okay, when the fence is moved this amount of, you know, distance in or out, how did that impact the park factor the next year kind of thing? And you do that with enough of a sample size and you can kind of figure out, okay, you know, 1 foot of movement equals X amount of, you know, home runs or extra base hits or whatever it may be. And when you do that for Kauffman Stadium, mm-hmm. you know, it's going to increase home runs.
Yeah, so do you think for Vinny P, for example, like one of these guys, pushing for 40 homers this year, he was almost there, drove in, I think, over 100. He was very, very strong. How you think a season like him could go when you're pitching at home? And how much do you think the market catches up with things like this early on? Should we be looking at, like, pro Vinny Pasquantino props at the beginning of a year, or maybe some of these other hitters given the adjustments, or do you think these are pretty soundly factored into some of these props?
Yeah, so I've seen times where stuff like this is not factored in at all by the markets, and then times where it seems to be factored in completely. Today, I was looking at the home run props in this game, and my model has pretty much every prop available for home runs as, like, fair value. So I don't know. Small sample size. We don't know how the market's going to treat it just yet, but so far it does look like it's being accounted for, which is a bit unfortunate because you know, it's always fun to find edges that the market is not accounting for.
Yeah. All right. Derek Hardy with us again, going over some of the props and some of the outlooks for some of the games here later today. I want to ask you about one more before we get you out of here. Lance McCullers Jr., Ranger Suarez will oppose one another. Boston and Houston going at it. Houston in general, I'm curious your thoughts, but really with McCullers, obviously injuries have really derailed the career. The numbers haven't looked good, especially last year when he came back. To me, this game, it looks like somewhat cheap for my measure, considering how bad McCullers can potentially be. Also an up and down series for the Astros against the Angels in the first opening weekend. But what do you make of McCullers, and what's your projection here for this game today between Boston and Houston?
Yeah, McCullers is a guy that I've always loved, and I'd love to see him succeed because he was one of the first guys that kind of got it with like the new way of thinking about pitching. Like, he had this curveball that was just so incredible, and he'd go out there and he'd decide to throw it like 40 or 50% of the time, which nobody was throwing their curveball that often back then.
Yep.
And it was just really, really nice to see a guy willing to make a change like that. And it was effective for him. But his career has been derailed by injuries. It would really be great to see him succeed at this point. I'm not holding out a ton of hope just yet. I mean, I want to see what he looks like today, but it's been a long time now, and injuries do have a way of sapping a pitcher's effectiveness. If anything, I think the money line for the Red Sox today actually looks like a little bit of value.
Yep. So I was thinking Derek Hardy. Derek, we're up against it. We appreciate a couple minutes, though, man. Thank you very much. Good luck this season, and we'll connect again soon.
All right. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Yep.
Thanks, man. All right, folks, remember, as baseball season is here, and we have a lot to offer here at the website as well, outside of just baseball, of course, we're approaching the home stretch for college basketball as well. Check out the introductory offer we have available for you. Sign up now for as little as $9.99. Daily best bets from VSiN experts and guests and handicappers, real-time betting splits, AI-powered prop tools. These opt-AI projections for baseball are absolutely fantastic to dig through almost every single day. Plus, you get to watch the shows whenever you want, 24/7 live video, full show replays, and every betting guide included. And of course, as we get closer to, like, I don't know, the Kentucky Derby, which is going to be right around the corner, the Masters, all sorts of content for you up there at VSiN.com/subscribe for just $9.99. Jeff Sherman is going to join us, VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate Superbook, get his thoughts and head oddsmaker for the National Basketball Association on the games today, some futures thoughts and more. Don't miss it.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
All right, we are getting closer and closer to the NBA postseason, actually, folks. It is right around the corner. It's already March 30th. Season ends on about April 15th. So this is getting hot and heavy. Our 10 teams are locked in both conferences. The order has yet to be determined. So let's discuss the big picture stuff, some games today, and more. Jeff Sherman's with us from the Westgate Superbook. Talk everything association, maybe fit a little golf at the end, too, with how everything's been going. It is a blur at this point, Jeff. So let's start with this. I am somebody who is willing to give somebody else the floor when they deserve it. And you're a big Lakers fan. Luka Doncic reportedly down like 39 pounds or something like that in total. He's been playing absolutely phenomenal basketball. He's not going to play today. He finally got that technical, so he's going to have to sit tonight. But your Lakers are the 3 seed right now in the Western Conference. The question becomes, are they the third best team in the Western Conference?
I still don't have them as such. I still have Denver ahead of them. And I think Minnesota could give them a tough go, too. So it's I think they're in a tier below Denver, and obviously we have the teams at the top that are in a class by themselves. So You know, I had the Lakers as high as 80-1 a few weeks back, and they've gone on this run and kind of solidified themselves to the three spot. But realistically, I mean, if they were to play Denver in the first round, they would be an underdog in that series. So they still have a tough path to go. And, you know, it's nice that they figured some things out and LeBron's accepted more of a role since he's come back from injury. But it's still a monumental task to take over those top teams.
So I'm glad you brought up Denver, because for me, people keep asking or bringing this up, if I do a hit or if we talk just hoops, just, hey, you know, if it's not Oklahoma City or San Antonio, or what are we looking at here? I can't quit Denver. And now all of a sudden, Jeff, they've won six straight. They're finally healthy. 8 out of the last 10 have been victories for them as well. You mentioned the pecking order in the Western Conference, but in general, with where Denver's being priced in the market, do you think there's value in this team to win it all? Where do you stand with them when it comes to the grand scheme of the NBA?
Well, yeah, I'm sitting at 10-1, and, you know, for most of the year, they were short of double digits. So if you're looking outside the top two, potentially they could be somebody to look at. Like I said, they'd be favored if they were to play the Lakers in the first round. Then things get interesting from there, though, because you have to go through the gauntlet of OKC, or San Antonio, then OKC. It's still so tough that there's a reason why, if you look at the odds board now, obviously OKC's been such a strong favorite all year, but now you have San Antonio, followed by Boston, and then you start stretching everybody else out. So those three teams have really separated themselves out.
Jeff Shermer with us over at the Westgate. Let's talk about those Celtics. Tatum's been back, has probably his best game back from injury the other day. In terms of the Celtics, I would assume that you have them as the highest power-rated team in the Eastern Conference, but where do you have them in comparison with their Western Conference foes?
Yeah, I have them behind OKC and San Antonio, but they are number one by a wide margin in the East, and there's that trustability factor, especially with Tatum back in the fold. So the public's been getting behind them and betting their futures, and, you know, we're a good position on them for the East. We have some liability for the title. They had reached some higher odds earlier this season, and, you know, obviously before Tatum got back, a lot of people thought they overachieved with what they had, but, you know, they've really filled their roles, and Jaylen Brown was having an MVP type of season to hold water until Tatum got back. But they're definitely the starting point, but they would be a dog to San Antonio or OKC if they were to play in the finals.
You said you had Boston the favorite in the East by a wide margin. Who is second, and what's that margin between them and Boston?
Well, I mean, I have Cleveland. There's something about New York I don't trust any of those teams outside of Boston. You know, there's flaws in all of them, but right now it's Cleveland, and obviously Detroit took a dip with Cunningham's injury, and that's fallen a bit. But I have Cleveland ahead of New York, but it's Boston still would be, you know, a decent favorite having home court over Cleveland. What we've seen out of Cleveland the past couple of years, they put together nice regular seasons. Things have been different in the playoffs. Obviously, James Harden, that addition is different. But I think there's just a tough task to trust them in the playoffs at this point.
Are they still ahead of Detroit if Cunningham's there?
I believe so. I mean, if you look at the spreads in the games, Detroit would be a shorter favorite at home than Cleveland would be in Cleveland. And, you know, there's always that reintegration, plus Detroit's dealing with other issues too. You know, they're missing three starters for their game at Oak City tonight. So they need to get these other guys healthy besides Cunningham.
Jeff Shermer with us over at the Westgate, talking about some of the teams, where they're rated. We're going to get to some of the games here today, but getting a general sense of where Jeff's at with some of these teams and their power rating. All right, I have to ask, on this show, they have been a darling, a favorite. They are all the way down in the 10th spot right now in the Eastern Conference, but we know their potential is so much greater. Where do you have the Charlotte Hornets, Jeff?
Man, you know, I was with you before the season on their season win total over. They've exceeded my expectations, but, you know, there's two teams in the East that I don't think those teams are the top one to play. Obviously, Charlotte's one. The other one is the 76er team that's starting to get healthy, too. So those two teams can cause some noise in the first round of the playoffs there, and I think teams would want to play anyone but those two early on. So, you know, you look at the respect that the Hornets have garnered in the point spreads. You know, they were favored at Boston. Obviously, it was a back-to-back spot for Charlotte. So, and Boston dealing with some injuries, Brown out. But you see the power rating on a nightly basis. You know, on Saturday, the Hornets were laying 6 to a fully healthy 76er team. So that shows you where they're positioned from an odds perspective, that there's a lot of respect there, and they definitely would not be a walkover for any team in the Eastern Conference.
I think the 76ers, I was trying to make this case, are they worth investing in right now? If they finish, my thing was, like you mentioned, the teams at the top, a 3-6 series, New York doesn't want to see the Philadelphia 76ers fully healthy with Paul George, Joel Embiid, and Tyrese Maxey. Like, they could be dangerous. I don't think I would be surprised if they're in the semifinals with an opportunity to win that series and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. Would you?
No, I fully agree with you. And their Eastern Conference odds have been taking a dip. You could have found them a 40-1 last week. Now they're 25-1. I would still have a tough time from a title perspective. Going through, if it were to be OKC or San Antonio or even Denver coming out of the West, I think that would be a tall order for Philly. But from an Eastern Conference perspective and possibly winning a series or two and putting themselves in position, it could still be worth an investment on the Sixers to win the East.
All right, before I get your thoughts on a couple of individual games from tonight, I assume the Los Angeles Clippers are about the third, fourth best team in the entire power ratings that you have, correct?
Oh, yeah, they keep climbing every day ever since they've made their trades of getting rid of Zubats and Harden. So it's actually they haven't lost too much, and they're a competitive team, and I don't expect much out of them in the first round, except I think the games will be more competitive from a point spread perspective.
Yeah, my thinking is I think that they would lose that series to, say, San Antonio, but I don't think the young Spurs would be ready for the fight they would get in that series. But we'll see. Like maybe a Nuggets and Thunder-type series where all of a sudden we're like, the Nuggets are pushing the Thunder to seven games, and we didn't really expect this, but we'll see if that's actually the case. All right, Jeff, let's take a look at a couple of the big games today. First off, just how have you guys been dealing with these big favorites? Obviously, there's a lot of bad teams, a lot of injuries, a lot of tanking. We've got a ton of big spreads here today as well, including your Lakers. But how has that been looking over at the Superbook? You guys getting a ton of moneyline parlays, and how have you been pricing them?
Well, that's just it. We've been getting a lot of moneyline parlays, so I've been jumping the moneylines up, so not exactly correlative to the game spread that you'd see earlier in the regular season. But these spreads are high enough that the dogs are covering these. I'll give you, just yesterday, yep. The Clippers and Bucks, we had sharp money -16.5 after making the adjustment for some players out from Milwaukee. So these numbers are high enough that the dogs are covering, even though we're getting favorite money at these high numbers. So the point spreads are taking care of themselves, and I'm just having to adjust the money lines up a little bit because it's far and few between that these underdogs are winning these games.
What'd you make of Philly tonight? It seemed like 1.5-2 was a little short in my estimation.
Yeah, that's one game I got involved with. I laid the Sixers -1 when it opened yesterday, just being a back-to-back for Miami, no Norman Powell. So it just seems more of a spot for Philly. So I am involved there with the Sixers -1.
And Boston and Atlanta, too, I think was the other one to ask you about. Not a good spot for Boston considering the scheduling situation, but this seems like schedule is factored into this number as well as the revenge for the Atlanta Hawks losing the other day to them. 2.5 for Atlanta at home. What'd you see here?
Yeah, we've seen some sharp money on Atlanta -1.5, and it's just Tatum out, but the others are expected to play. But a back-to-back in Boston coming off a nice win yesterday, that this is the type of game I think they can be a little bit more relaxed and distancing themselves in the Atlantic division with the Knicks. That division looks like it's close to being wrapped up. So a spot here tends to lean towards Atlanta.
Follow him on X at Golf Odds, VP of Risk Management over at the Westgate. Jeff, always good to talk to you, sir. Thanks very much. It was good to catch up with you.
All right. Thanks, JVT.
You got it. Again, Jeff Sherman over at the Westgate Superbook. Yeah, Philly going out to a 2.5-point favorite. A couple of national books, 1.5s are still out there as well if you still want to play them. And as you see it on the screen right there, 2.5 the number over at DraftKings for Atlanta. Plenty of twos still available in their little revenge spot and good scheduling situation for the Hawks at home against the Celtics. Let's wrap. We get some best bets on the other side. Baseball, NBA. Got some news that we should hit on as well. And a couple of these other games that we haven't hit on before we get out of here on a Monday.
Money Moves here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you got a group chat full of hot takes, Cut was built for you. Cut is a social betting platform that lets you bet directly against your friends and other users on basically anything, sports, politics, pop culture, even personal bets. Every bet fully customizable and pre-funded, which means no more chasing someone down when they lose. No flaking, no excuses, just results. And unlike traditional betting apps, Cut actually gives you cash back on every single bet you make, even against your friends. Now, you can get a 15% deposit bonus on your first deposit when you use promo code VSIN. Head to Cut.com, K-U-T-T.com, or download in the App Store. Use promo code VSIN. First game of the day in Major League Baseball is set to get started in just about 30 minutes from now or so. That will be the Minnesota Twins taking on the Kansas City Royals, a 1:10 p.m. first pitch. Do have a best bet coming up on this one. I'll let you know that right now, prominent number is about $1.65 price tag on the Kansas City Royals. Total is 10. This should be pointed out, too, weather-wise. This number, windy day out there in KC. It looks like wind's blowing out to the left, about 16 miles an hour, according to some of the projections out there. So keep that in mind. And that total, of course, sitting at 10, as you see it there. Bubich is going to be a big weapon here. Pretty good at keeping the ball down. We'll talk a little bit more about this and what I like in best bets. But his ability to induce ground ball is going to be very valuable in a game where the wind looks like it is carrying out at Kauffman. Did want to hit the news, though. How about this? I mean, this seems somewhat shocking. We keep saying, and this is, look, we miss Stormy Bonatoni purely for business reasons. I don't miss Stormy as a person. I miss Stormy because we need somebody to balance us when it comes to the National Hockey League and their depth of knowledge. And we get news over the weekend that the Vegas Golden Knights moving on. I thought this was a fake tweet. Instead, it was real. Knights fire Bruce Cassidy over the weekend, and they've already hired John Tortorella. In fact, he already has an interactive press conference today. So Knights moving on at a pivotal position of head coach, fired on Sunday, replaced with Tortorella, hoping, of course, that with 8 games left in the regular season, this can spark something. VGK, in the midst of quite the slide here at this point, have just 1 win since March 14th and have 3 wins since the beginning of the month. This has not been a good stretch for Vegas. We've talked about them a lot here, though, as I have called them the fake good team. Here they are as a -360 favorite today against the Canucks in a very pivotal game for them, not only just coming off of course, the firing of their coach, but the fact that they just need to right the ship in what is right now a shrinking window for them in the postseason. The division, as we have talked about quite a bit, they currently trail Anaheim by 6 points in the Pacific Division. They're behind by 3 to Edmonton. Edmonton, of course, is the team that I'm hoping will pull this out. And a good couple of wins for our Oilers, huh? Take one from the Vegas Golden Knights on the road and then follow that up with a 4-2 win at home against the Ducks. So Edmonton's doing their part, despite the fact that they suffered a key injury about 2 weeks ago or so. So Pacific, shape it up to be very interesting. But VGK on a little bit of a lifeline as well when it comes to the postseason. Sitting with just 80 points. Los Angeles sitting at 76, just outside of the wild card picture. Nashville control of your final wild card right now as it stands with 77 points. So they are not out of the, we'll call it the ugly zone right now for the Vegas Golden Knights. They need to start to string these things together. Odd, though, that you would look at a team like Vegas and think that Cassidy was the problem when one of the things we've talked about a lot for this Vegas Golden Knights team is the fact that their goaltending has been absolutely atrocious. And to put that all on the shoulders of Cassidy when this is a front office that didn't really want to make a move when it came to the netminder position, it's a little odd. So we'll see if maybe there's going to be some real conversations in the offseason. But still to this day, you have yet to have a goaltender on this roster with a save percentage over 90 right now. It has not gotten well at a very pivotal spot here. Akira Schmid, your leader in terms of games played, 16 wins, 10 losses, 6 overtime losses with a 2.6 goal against average and an 89.3 in terms of save percentage. But VGK, still getting priced in that range where they're at right now to win the Stanley Cup. Same odds over at DraftKings as our Buffalo Sabres, I will call them, very high on Buffalo. But some big news, and we'll see if maybe this even matters for Vegas, because it doesn't seem like this is a group that is going to have a long life in the postseason, should they even make it. We've talked about this with Stormy quite a bit in terms of them maybe being good enough to win a first series and then getting subsequently eliminated, but I don't know if that's actually going to be the case for Vegas, given the way that they've been playing, especially between the pipes. So that's going to be it for that, I would say. We don't really have a really good read on the card here today. We have just 5 games in the NHL. Big one later today. We talked about this with Chris Pacero earlier. He had his 2 big long shots, Philadelphia Flyers and the San Jose Sharks, to win the Stanley Cup, as he was talking about, and then maybe finding some opportunities to hedge off of those. But some of the games today, as we're rolling through these, Islanders right now, but $1.30 favorite over the Penguins. The Avalanche, -375, one of their two big favorites on the card here today, along with Vegas. Ducks, -192, trying to bounce back from that loss we talked about, and then a pick between the Sharks and the Blues in that spot. So with that, let's get the best bets, and we'll wrap up with a couple of other baseball games before we get on out of here. Weekend recap for the best bets. A split down the middle, small loss depending on it. Cavaliers, -4.5, gets there, but the Pelicans, +8.5 on a Friday night. Do not. St. John's Duke, under 142.5, does not get there either, but our future plays before the NCAA tournament cashes, total sum of seeds in the final four, under 9.5 and -125, we get there. So a split there at a small loss for the weekend, including the results in the futures that cashed. For today, let's start in Major League Baseball, and let's dive in a little bit here. Let's have some fun. We have an early game today and some good games on the card. We'll start with that first game in a little bit. But first up on the list, Red Sox, first five. You can find -110 out there. Didn't get the best of it. -115 to play here. As we've discussed quite a bit, this Astros team rolling out Lance McCullers to get the start. McCullers' numbers have not really been great. Ranger Suarez, we know exactly what we're going to get. Just above a 3 ERA last season, right in line with his fielding independent. Taking on an Astros team that its lineup in the first two starts of their series against the Angels, held down by Jose Soriano, held down by Yusei Kikuchi, really explode in the last two games, of course, thanks a lot to poor defense and the bullpen of the Angels. I think this lineup's a little bit more flawed than we saw in the final 10 games of that set for the Astros. So we'll test that theory with the Red Sox and the and Ranger Suarez. First five, the emphasis here for the Red Sox money line, -115 against Suarez and McCullers. And then just a fade of McCullers, given what we know about the way that he has been pitching in his career going back to last year, coming back from those injuries. Next up, this is the early game. Semien Woods-Richardson versus Chris Bubich, Kansas City and Minnesota. We've talked about this a bit, but we'll lay the run line with the Kansas City Royals. Typo there, too, by the way. That's not your fault. I sent you in the wrong price, but you can find +125 on the Kansas City Royals. So shop around and get that for you here. But either way, Kansas City -1.5 against this Twins team. It's a little bit of a theory tester for two things. First off, I'm not high in Minnesota. We've talked about this a lot. Have an under on the win total for the Twins. Think they'll be sellers and quite poor by the time we get to the deadline. A fade of Semien Woods-Richardson as well coming into this matchup. And a belief here that Bubich is really going to do enough to keep this ball down, as we know that he can, and keep his team in position in a windy day out there in Kauffman with the shortened fences to win this game and win by margin. And testing whether or not this lineup is actually going to perform a lot better at home, as we have talked about quite a bit in this offseason. Your posted lineups here, Bobby Witt Jr. batting second, Vinny behind him right there at third, and we will see if the rest of this lineup behind Caglione's batting seventh right now can get it done and do enough damage against Semien Woods-Richardson and the Twins here. But I do believe in this team, and we'll see if maybe we can get Caglione's first home run of the season today here as well. Major League Baseball done. Philadelphia 76ers will be the NBA play for today. -1.5. We spoke about this with Jeff Sherman just a couple of minutes ago. If you missed that or any of our other conversations, Chris Passero, Derek Carty, go to VSiN.com and check out all of our conversations up where you can find your podcasts. This seems short given the situation for the Miami Heat. Also, second leg of a back-to-back for them. 76ers finally fully healthy. Tyrese Maxey on the injury report but listed as available. Maybe it's just time to start riding Philadelphia. I think this team, when they are fully constructed, is going to be very, very good when you have your big three out there on the floor. Paul George has been tremendous so far in the early going since his return. Only two games, but 27 points, 9.5 rebounds, 3 assists on 48% shooting from the floor, 41% from beyond the arc. You can actually round it up to 42. He's at 41.7%. We know how good Tyrese Maxey is. These three guys together are going to be legitimately great. And I think the 76ers, as we continue to call them, are going to be that, to use a different cliche, the thorn in the paw in the Eastern Conference. If they draw that sixth seed, and that also why this game matters, Miami is in control of the 10th seed right now in the Eastern Conference. Sorry, ninth. They are in a tie with the Charlotte Hornets there, but because of tiebreakers, they are ahead of them. But Philadelphia, just a half game back from Atlanta for that sixth seed, and that's going to be important for multiple reasons. First off, you just get out of the play-in. You don't have to win your way in. But second, a fully healthy Philadelphia 76ers team can beat the New York Knicks in a 3-6 matchup. And right now, I believe that's what it's going to be. Knicks have a cushion at the top and at the bottom. If you look at the standings right now, VSiN.com, Knicks 2.5 games back from Boston, and they are 1.5 games up on the Cleveland Cavaliers. That is, I think, going to be the 3 seed in the East. And so if Philly can draw that 6 seed, that is a winnable first-round series. And we talked about these Eastern Conference numbers with Sherman earlier, but I wouldn't say no looking at the Philadelphia 76ers in the Eastern Conference. It is a a conference that is, I think, some upward mobility, we'll call it right now. You can find the 76ers in the range of 22-1 to win this thing, and I think that is something they at least can make enough of a run to find yourself with an opportunity to get off of it by the time we get to the Eastern Conference Finals, potentially. But that all goes back to tonight. We need the 76ers to take care of business as 1.5-point favorites over the Miami Heat. Does it for us here on Money Moves. Crew, appreciate it. You guys do a great job, as always, dealing with me, moving around and doing all that other stuff. A big thanks to our guests as well. Jensen Lewis, Chris Massaro, Derek Carty, Jeff Sherman. Find them all up at VSiN.com, wherever you get your podcast. Mitch and Paul, follow the money. Coming up next, they'll take you for the next 3 hours. See you tomorrow.